Please bow your heads and pray with me. Father, we thank you on this rainy Sunday morning. You've gathered us here together to be warmed by your Spirit, his presence with us. Holy Spirit, as you've been with us as we've gathered, speak to us. Take these words and thoughts of mine and use them to speak to us. Take our ears and finally to them. Jesus, in the midst of all that I say, it's your word we'd hear. Amen. Please be seated. How many have ever been to New Orleans? Many of us. How about at a big festival time? The city's packed, crowded with people. Of all the cities in this country, I think it has probably architecturally the way in which the city is a lot like European Middle Eastern cities in the very tight spaces. The buildings go very tall. You pack that in with people. Boy, it feels very, very tight, doesn't it? How many have ever been to Jerusalem? Several of us. A lot of similarities, isn't there, Madeline, just the way in which it is. And you think of a crowd in Jerusalem, you have to think of a crowd in New Orleans. Very quickly, the city feels just overly filled and just like there isn't room. It's in that context that we read our gospel reading for this morning from John. In that it's a crowded space, filled and filled and overfilled with people. And it's in that that we read John chapter 12, beginning in verse 20. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. Jews from all over the world had come, but also Greeks. And so they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Greeks. Outsiders. Outsiders from the promises of Israel. Greeks. Foreigners. They too were hearing stories and intrigued by the stories they heard about this Jesus. Strange stories about this Messiah of Israel. But he wasn't the Messiah that they thought he would become because, oh, for one thing, he met with pagans, non-Israelites. Maybe there is actually room for us, Greeks, the outsiders. Because the Greeks, like the Jews, were hungry. They were thirsty for the bread of life. They wanted something different. And what they're hearing, this Jesus gives life, quenches thirst, satisfies hunger. They long to see him if he's what people are saying he is. They long for his embrace. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. So writes St. Augustine, and how so true it is. They long for this rest. They're weary. Life has them turn upside down as well. And they get up enough courage, the Greeks, to come to one of the followers of Jesus, Philip, and ask him, "Sir," well, not really ask, they really state why they're there. "Sir, we want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. You want to see Jesus." The question I have for us this morning is, why do we want to see Jesus? Why do you want to come to him? It's not the usual question I would ask of, do you love Jesus or do you know Jesus? But why do you want to see Jesus? You see, if you follow the Gospel of John to this point, your appetite is more than whetted. The anticipation is growing. And we're right at the place where, wow, I want to see this guy. See, we've seen Jesus at the wedding feast take ordinary water and change it to the best wine the host has ever had. We watched Jesus disturb the status quo in the temple and turn the tables upside down. We see Jesus associating with a Samaritan of all people, a Samaritan woman, outsiders, outcasts, lowlifes. He crosses the boundary between friend and enemy, when he's willing to talk to the Roman official and heal his son. He heals a crippled man in the pool of Bethsaida. He feeds thousands of people with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. And probably the most incredible thing he has done to this point is to raise his best friend Lazarus from the dead. He was dead, now he's alive. Isn't this the Messiah the Jews have been waiting for? Could it be true? The expectation is just so much there when you get to this point, the 12th chapter of John. You can't help but be convinced it's what everybody's been waiting for. You can feel the expectation. Game on. Ready for the show. The enemies of God will be dismantled. All things will be made right. The Messiah has come. I don't know about you, but I want to see this Messiah come. I want to see Jesus that's ready for battle, armed and dangerous, prepared to vanquish the enemies. A Jesus that looks like Rambo, Terminator, or at least the President of the United States with a flight suit on an aircraft carrier, proclaiming, "We've won." That's what I want. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of opening the newspaper and listening to the news on the radio or watching it on the television. Yet another battle in the Middle East in which ready to just turn the world upside down. Yet another race riot, racial unrest, and the reaction to it. Yet another Christian that's captured, tortured, and killed. Yet another story about how drug addiction is just rampant in our communities, even ours. Shootings that make no sense. They can't even figure out why the shooter would have shot the shot that killed the person. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. I'm ready for God's enemies to be destroyed. I don't want any more tragedy, any more pain, any more suffering, any more injustice. I want it to be over. Excuse me, Philip. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. That took guts for the Greeks because they knew they would probably be dismissed because they weren't Israelites, but they asked, "We want to see Jesus." Jesus' initial response brought great excitement in the crowd, I'm sure. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Yay, he's here. It's all going to be okay. No need to worry. The victor has arrived. And if you skip down, if you exclude verses 24 through 30, if you had the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified, verse 23, and then you went down to verse 31, you'd say, we're ready. It's just exactly what I want. I'm tired of life being hard. I'm tired of injustice and pain. For in verse 31, he says, now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. Go God. Go Jesus. They were ready for the Messiah that would do just that instantly. They were ready for the Roman occupation to be gone. And for Jesus to sit on the throne. And they were ready to get right behind him and do whatever they could to make it happen. We will act it out next Sunday with Palm Sunday. We'll start off with Palm Sunday with waving those branches saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, we're behind you, Jesus, because you're going to conquer all the enemies and make it all good. Oh, what do you mean? It's not going to be quite the way we thought it was going to be? Well, death to you. Crucify him. Crucify him. You see, because in the 24th verse, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The person who loves his life will lose it, while the one who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. As much as you can feel the anticipation building in the book of John to the 12th chapter, that this is exactly who we've been waiting for. When he says that, you can feel it all drop away. Death? And lest you be confused, John says in verse 33, he said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. Oh, that's not the kind of Messiah I want. That's not the conquering king. No. His throne won't be in a palace here on earth, but will be found through a cross in heaven. You see, his victory is found through his death. His resurrection gives life. What? You mean it's all not going to just become great? Oh, no. They killed Jesus. But his death was used for his victory. And his resurrection brings us life. It's not the kind of Messiah. And he said not only would he have to die, but for all of us that follow, we're to follow life the way it was for him. And are we willing to die for his sake? I mean, he's not going to make it instantly better? No. It could get worse before it gets better. But in the end, it's going to get better. Oh, there will be victory. It will all change. But not fully until it's all finished. And first, there's death. Death on a cross. Do you want to see Jesus? Do you want to see him because he's just going to make it all better? Well, I'm sorry, it's not going to all just get better. He's going to give you what you need to get through life, and it's going to be filled with bumps and bruises as it was for him. And for him, it was death on a cross. And for many that have followed, it's been death for his sake as well. Do you want to see Jesus? Oh, there's a great cost. There's a great song that I can remember singing, and it's still in my head. From the 70s and the 80s, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Do you want to see Jesus? It's maybe not the way you thought it was going to be. There's quite the cost. There's quite the cost to him for him to follow the path that was before him for the victory to be won through the cross and the resurrection. And for us that follow, we're to follow in the same pattern that he followed. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The person who loves his life will lose it. And while the one who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. I want to see Jesus, no matter the cost. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your love, and your victory might not be in the terms of which we had hoped it would be, but there is victory in you, Jesus, but it's found through your death. Give us what we need for the course that's before us. May we follow you wherever you lead. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. no turning back together. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Amen.